In the early 1960s, my brother and I loved going to drive-in movies with our mom and dad. We were so little at the time, they dressed us in pajamas and put our pillows in the car, hoping we would fall asleep before the main feature started. It was usually an action-packed thriller or romantic comedy, more for adults than for children. But that didn't stop parents from bringing us along. We'd do our best, of course, to keep at least one eye open, and definitely never miss the cartoons that played before the movie. With only a small black-and-white television set in our living room, watching our favorite cartoon characters on such an enormous screen sent us into rapture. Even pulling into the fenced-in lot was exciting. The movie screen rose up from the ground for what seemed like miles, but Dad liked to park as near to the middle of everything as possible, not too close or too far back. Then he'd turn off the ignition and reach for the speaker attached to a pole beside the car and clip it to the top of his half-rolled window. From the back seat, we could smell the tire-tamped earth and grass, the exhaust fumes from circling cars, the grease from deep fryers at the concession stand. Big kids squealed and laughed in the playground area. Adults and teenagers passed by, carrying food and drinks. But once dusk settled over the field and the speaker began to pop and sputter with sound, the lighted screen was all that mattered. Among so many memories that have stayed with me from those drive-in days was being surrounded by hundreds of people sitting in their cars, but still feeling like we had created our own familial cocoon, a place where we felt safe and loved the way we always did when we were at home. Of course, my parents have other memories of drive-ins that don't include their children. And I was thinking mostly about them when my husband and I stumbled across a drive-in movie theater way out in the country. It was deserted and run down, no longer a place where teenage boys take their dates, young married couples look for an evening's entertainment, or a Saturday night treat for entire families. The concession stand is still there, boarded up, of course, but you can tell what it used to be. And the screen, which once reflected the images of cartoon characters and movie stars, still stands like a monument to a time that will never come again. At the drive-in, you parked your father's car in this very field and hurried to the concession stand, dodging lightning bugs and wayward children running from their mothers. As you stood in line, you glanced over your shoulder at the yellow-haired girl whose hands rested in her lap like fresh-picked lilies, who smiled at you like you were someone she'd been waiting for all her life, except you didn't think such things back then. You only knew that she was with you voluntarily, which seemed to you a miracle. And if you managed not to spill your drink on her dress or snag her lip with your braces, she might let you touch some small part of her skin, however briefly. So you slid in beside her, fixed the speaker to the window. You watched the actors move and speak and play out their scripted lives on the whitewashed shingles of a makeshift movie screen. But what you remember most are the stars that twinkled all around it, and how her hair felt soft as leaves brushing against your cheek. And even now, years later, the concession stand closed, the ticket booth locked, the screen fallen to its wooden knees in the tall grass, the stars still twinkle above the abandoned field, and the old man gazing up at them, smiling.